Okay, good morning. We will be starting today from 4 lines up from the bottom of 85b, Pehe Amudbeis. The Gemara here had been discussing, the Gemara's been going through off of the previous mission of the different categories of damage. Gemara's now in the process of going through the damages of Shevas. So the Gemara starts off with we'll begin with a question. Boy Rabba. So Rabba has a following question. We know that with respect to the five damages, when a person damages someone permanently, so there's a payment of Nezek, which ultimately pays for the permanent damage. Sorry? Oh. The person pays for the permanent damage that he causes the person. However, there's a Sheves, there's a loss of work that the person, we evaluate a person as if he was washing cucumbers. We talked about this before. And that amount of work that he loses, a person's chayv to pay. He paid the bulk of the damages through Nezek, but there are some residual damages that a person cannot work while he's healing up, even to his lesser state after his hand has been cut off or something like that. Gemara wants to know now, boy Rabba, Shevas HaPochus HaBdam, what about a case where there's not permanent damage, but there's temporary damage? So a person pays the Shevas. Is there a Nezek, is that considered to be Nezek? Is there a Nezek damage from that temporary diminution in value? What's the case? Hey Chidami, what's the case? What would be a case where there's temporary damage where a person would be paying Shevas? And the Gemara now has a question, is there considered to be a Nezek payment? Is there only Shevas payment, or perhaps there's a Nezek payment as well for that short period in which his value, he's been devalued? So Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's the case? Higon Shiko al Yado, Vitsamtsa Yado. So a person was hit, so you hit someone in his hand, the hand shrivels up temporarily. But so falafta, however, eventually it will regenerate, it will heal. But during that period, Rashi Tosas explained, during that period, while it's shriveled up, his value has gone down. If he were to be sold to be sold as an eved, his value would have gone down during that period of time while he's healing. So the question is that considered, that short period of time, is that considered to be a nezek in regards to the fact that you pay him the fact that he's not working now, as well as an additional damage payment for that period in time when his value has actually, in fact, gone down? So Gemara says, Kevin Desof, what's the question? Gemara flushes out the question. Now, my Kevin Desof Alachzer, since eventually it's going to regenerate, heal, Aloyav Lomidi. It's like a person getting sick. You know, it's going to heal. There's no permanent damage, so you don't have to pay him. You pay him Sheves, he's out of work, but you don't have to pay him any Nezek payment. Odilmo, perhaps hashta mio afkase. But now, no. We look at the isolated event. Right now, his value has gone down, and for that diminution in value, so a person would have to pay as well as the Shevas. A person would have to pay a small nezek payment for that short period of time. So Gemara says, Gemara wants to prove what the halacha would be in this particular case. So Tashma, the Gemara says, it brings the following proof from a halacha. Hamaka aviv v'imo, if a person hits his father or mother, velo asa v'hem chabura. So a person ordinarily is chayv misa for hitting his father or mother and creating a chabura. The Gemara wants to know, the Gemara quotes a halacha here that if a person hits his father or mother but does not create a chabur. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the case was. V'hachova bechavero, similarly, a person creates, hurts his friend on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur does not carry, the halacha over there is describing cases in which a person, there would be no halacha of kim lebe derabimine. Ordinarily, when a person is chayv misa and does damage, so a person is going to be chayv misa, he's not going to have to pay the damages because we just execute the most stringent of rulings. So these two halachas, a person hits his father and mother without a chabura, so there's no capital punishment, or he hurts a person on Yom Kippur, again, where there's no capital punishment for that. So Gemara, turning to the top of Peivav and Aleph, chayiv bekulan. So he'd be chayiv, Rashi explains, chamisha devarim, he'd be chayiv in the five categories of damage. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is that case? Hailo asa chabura, what is the case exactly of not creating a chabura on your father? So he says, lav kigon, is the case not Sheiko al Yado, that he hit him on his hand, the sofa lachzer, he hit it, he did some sort of temporary damage to his father, there's no actual chabura. Rashi explains that anything permanent, even if you wouldn't readily see the chabura, there is some sort of internal chabura that's causing it to be a permanent damage. So it has to be, the Gemara understands, it has to be some sort of temporary damage at this point. Kigon shikoa yad of a sofa lachzer, it's some sort of temporary damage. And we see the halacha in the Braisa is that you pay all five categories. included in those five categories is nezek. So you see, even for temporary damages, you'd pay a nezek. There would be some sort of nezek payment for that, again, temporary devaluing of the father's status had he be sold in the marketplace. V'katani chayv v'kulon. So you see that you're chayv v'kulon. So that answers our question whether or not with respect to temporary damages, you'd be chayv to pay nezek in addition to the sheves, the loss of work. So Gemara says, Amri, so Gemara answers, Hachav Maiskin, no, you assume the case is a case where he hit him and there was some sort of temporary damage. Hachav Maiskin, no, we can say that the case is talking about Kagon Shechersho. He didn't hit him and it caused any damage to his hand. Shechersho, he made him deaf. V'lo Aslat Bo Chabura. Again, we have to make sure that the case is a case where there's no Chabura because we want there to be a case, we want the case to be where there's damage payment. And if there's a chabura, there's going to be a capital punishment. So Gemara says, Shechirshu, you made him deaf. And you did not make a chabura. The Gemara says, one second, that case doesn't work out well because Vahama Rabba explains, you know that Rabba has the following halacha, chorishes up, if a person makes his father deaf, neherag, he's killed. Why? Because we understand, even though externally you may not see any chabura, internally there is some sort of chabura that is causing that permanent damage and causing him to be deaf. So therefore, that cannot be the case. So Gemara now falls back and has to figure out what the case is again. So Gemara says, I'm sorry, she'yef shel charisha b'lo chabura, tips, why? Tips of the dama nafla le b'udne, some sort of droplet of blood fell into his ear, causing him to become deaf. Ella, hachamayiski, and Gemara says, so then what must be the case? Kigon shegilcho. So Gemara says, you know what? We're still not going to go back to our original understanding of the case where there's temporary damage. The case is where you shaved off his head. Mm-hmm. So Gemara stops for a second. Gilcho, the Gemara says, if you shaved off his head, mehader hader, v'hainu bayan. That is exactly the type of case we're looking for. We're looking for a case where you cause some sort of temporary damage to your father and nevertheless are chayv with a nezek payment. So that actually helps us, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no. Amri hachav amayaskina, no. When we say gilcho, that you shaved off his head, kigon shesacho nasha, that you use some sort of cream to clear off his hair, which causes the hair not to grow back permanently. So there is permanent, there's a permanent effect to what you did. Nasha Rashi says, sam hamasher saseir ve'inu chozer. It's some sort of salve, some sort of cream that removes the hair, ve'inu chozer, and causing it not to come back. Ve'ika nezek, Rashi says, t'ha'af chasei mikaspe demumu. And there are damages because he's now, there's some sort of blemish in the father in that he doesn't have any more hair. He would have had hair before. I don't know if he did it in splotches or whatever it was, but there's some sort of, that's considered to be a mum. Fine. So the Gemara now says, and that's how the Gemara is going to keep the case. So again, so we do not have a proof. We no longer have a proof from this case because the Gemara, which initially wanted to understand the case where you did some sort of temporary damage, the Gemara ultimately finds a case where it can establish it as a permanent damage, where you did not create a chabura, and you'd still be chayiv in the five categories. Again, nezek, anytime you do permanent damage, you're going to be chayiv in nezek. So Gemara says, what are all the damages in this particular instance? So Gemara says, tsar, the tsar, again, it's tsar, nezek, ripo, shavas, and boshas. So Gemara's going to explain what how those all fit into this case. Tsar, what's the pain? The isle katuf nebereshi, he has some cracks in his head, so when you apply this cream to his head, which is abrasive, I'm sure, it hurts. V'tzavchi mehanu katuf, and it causes him to a lot of pain, a significant amount of pain to those cracks. Ripoy, what's the medical expenses? Deboy asuye, he has to heal them. He has to heal those cracks. Now that you've caused pain to them, he has to heal them. Sheves, what's the sheves? Dehavi merakid bekuve. Deboy machve gavne areshe, velo machme behane kartufne. So Rashi, I guess he moonlighted as a dancer. And one of the things that he used to do was he would shake his head, and that was part of his. I guess that was his primary occupation, and he had to move his head around. And now that his head is in so much pain, he can no longer do his work, and therefore that's the sheves. And it seems to be that was, I think for sure, his primary job, if not his only job, Rashi explains, because otherwise he could do other work. But anyways, so that's the sheves. Boshes, ein lecha boshes gadol mizeh. So boshes, what's the embarrassment? It's exceptionally embarrassing for him now to walk around without with where he would have had hair, to without any hair anymore. Now, that's the end of that. Well, now the Gemara says, so that was Rabba's question. Again, that was Rabba's whole question. Rabba had a question, the Gemara tried to answer the question. Ultimately, the Gemara doesn't have an answer. Umilsa devaila le Rabba, finishing off, the Gemara says, and that which Rabba had a question about with respect to temporary damages, do you pay Nezek as well as the Sheves? Pshita leila Abaye lahach kisa, ulurava lahach kisa, was obvious to both Abaye and Rava on either extreme, meaning Abaye and Rava had this question. Abaye paskin one extreme, Rava paskin the other extreme, but they didn't have a suffix about the case. Each one had his own answer. The Gemara says de itmar, quoting the following halachi, ko al yado. If a person hits a person on his hand, vitsamsa, and it shrivels up, vitsofa lachzer, it's temporary damage, it ultimately regenerates and heals up. Abaye amar nosan l'sheves gedola v'sheves katana. So Abaye passes in that case, you pay him sheves gedola, which is really just, Rashi explains, dmei yado, which is nezek. You pay him the value of his hand, how much he's worth less now without the hand or with a diminished hand in that particular during that period before it heals. V'sheves katana, and also while he's not able to work, you'd have to pay him for the regular. Well, we understand as regular sheves, you'd have to pay him as well. So Abaye holds that you do, and essentially with respect to our question, you do pay nezek damages. You pay that sheves gadol. You pay the fact that he's not able to use his hand, or he's been devalued. The value of his hand has gone down while it's been damaged. The Rava Amar, Rava holds, Paskins, Eino Nosin Lo Ela Deme Shifto. You only pay him the regular Sheves, you don't pay him any of these Nezik damages, because ultimately it will heal up, and it's like, again, like a person gets sick, it's not nothing permanent, you don't have to pay him any Nezik damages in that case. Deme Shifto B'Shevachol Yom V'Yom. Right. Now, Itmar, Gemara has another discussion. Itmar. Hakotei Yad Eved Ivri, if a person cuts off the hand of his Eved Ivri, Hakotei Yad Eved Ivri Shachaver, so he damages the Eved Ivri that belongs to his friend. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Nosin lo Sheves Gedola la Eved. So you pay the damages, the Nezek damages to the Eved himself, because the Eved has been, you have to restore the Eved to his full value, has to go out with his full value, v'sheves katana, and the fact that he's not able to work, l'rav, and you pay that to the master. Rava Amar, Rava holds in this halacha, hakol yinasin la'eved, you pay everything, all of the value, you pay the nezek to the Eved, you pay the sheves to the Eved. Now, the master is losing out some value here. V'yilakach b'em karka. What the Eved does is then he buys a piece of, he invests all of this money, so the master actually gets more money perhaps in this case, he invests all of that money into a field, the harav ocha peros, and anything that field produces goes to the master, so ultimately the master is paid for the loss of work, but all of the payments go straight to the Eved. Now the Gemara just expresses this halacha a little bit more clearly. Pshita, everyone agrees, piches etzel atzmo, the damage to the Eved is only with respect to the Eved, meaning the master does not, the damage that was done to the Eved does not affect the master in every way, in any way. The etzel rabo lo piches, right? And it doesn't affect the master in any way. The Gemara's going to explain what the halach is. Hei chidame, de paski l'resh unne, unya, he cut off part of his ear, o l'resh nechire, or part of his nose, where perhaps if he were, you know, once he goes free, it's some sort of mum, but As a worker for his master, it's not lessened his value. So everyone agrees in that case, hakola atzmo, everything goes to the Eved. Obviously, the master's not affected in any way in this case. So everything goes to the master. Piches etzarabo. So when the Eved has been damaged with respect to the master as well, that is specifically where plukta d'Abaye Rava. That's where we were just discussing the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Does part of the payment go to the Adon, part of the payment go to the Eved, or does all of the payment go to the Eved? So that's where their machlokas resides, but not with respect to the fact if there was just damage to the Eved per se. Everyone would agree, even Abaye would agree, that all of the payments go to the Eved. So now, moving on to the final of the damages, now the Gemara is going to discuss the damages of Boshas. So Boshas, the Mishnah said, "Akol lefi amavayish amisbayish." What's interesting about Boshas is that whereas everything else, you can essentially go to court, you can go to a marketplace, you can kind of evaluate what it's worth, Boshas is a much more lechora subjective damage. Every person is different. Every person is affected. Well, maybe or maybe not. So the Armisha passing Boshas afi akol lefi amavayish amisbayish. So Gemara says, "Mani masnisen who." Of the following, Rabbanan does the Mishnah follow? Lo Rabbi Meir, v'lo Rabbi Huda, el Rabbi Shimon hi. The Gemara is going to explain, obviously, in a second what all these people hold, but it can't be any of these three shittas, and we'll follow along. Ditnan, or Ditanya, I think the note amends here. V'kulan, when you damage a person, whether it be v'kulan, whether it be a person who is wealthy or a person who's poor, Ron O son, we look at them, evaluate them, ki iluhim b'nei chorin, as they're, I guess, average free people, sheyardim b'nechseim, who have lost their money, sheyim b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, they are children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, divar of Meir. So Meir essentially says, everyone is valued on equal footing, everyone's b'nei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, so they are susceptible to busha. They have a certain lineage. There's a certain busha that a person experiences. But in terms of payment, we don't look at their money, how much they're worth. We just look at everyone on the same plane. That's the Meir's halacha. Everyone is essentially measured by one barometer. Rabbi Huda Omer Hagadol Lefi Godlo, Vakatan Lefi Katan. No, more similar to what we see in our Mishnah. But Hagadol Lefi Godlo, a person who's wealthy. With respect to how much busha he would experience, a person who's not wealthy with respect to how much busha he would experience. That's Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. So far, Rabbi Meir, everyone's the same. Rabbi Yehuda splits, and Rabbi Shimon Omar Ashirin Roan Osan Kilo Hein Pnei Chorin. We look at he says Ashirin. We look at Ashirin like we said before Kilo Hein Pnei Chorin Shiradim Chseim, like the ordinary people who've lost their money. However, Aniyim, we look not just as regular Aniyim, we look at them as like the most destitute person. So he basically has a distinction, but shifts everyone down. Ashirim are not on their high level of Ashiras. They're like regular people, and Aniyim kind of are shifted down all the way to the bottom, where they would experience very little, in that state, very little busha. So now the Gemara is going to explain now how does our Mishnah not go like any of these halachos? So Mani, Ira Meir, Mishnah certainly can't be Ira Meir. The Mishnah has a distinction, so it certainly cannot be Rav Meir. Rav Meir does not distinguish between anyone. The Rav Meir kula b'hadei hadadinu, like you said, Rav Meir holds everyone is of the same standing with respect to busha. When you embarrass someone, everyone is on the same level. V'Rav Yehuda, now Rav Yehuda does have a distinction. It can't be Rav Yehuda because masisa katani hamivayish esesuma. We're going to learn on Amud Beis the author, to what seemingly be the author of these Mishnayos, holds that if a person embarrasses a suma, a blind person, so you're chayef. Rabbi Yehuda Omar suma ein lo boshes. Rabbi Yehuda says a halacha. He doesn't say it in the same terms, but he says suma ein lo boshes. So Rabbi Yehuda cannot be, even though with respect to halacha of mivayesh, he has a distinction similar to our Mishnah, but it would not flow with the next Mishnah where the Mishnah quotes a halacha that is at odds with another halacha that Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold of. Again, the Mishnah later on Amud Beis will say, "Amavayish is a suma chayiv," and Rabbi Yehuda holds that a suma does not have boshes. So elalav, so it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is knocked out, which we'll come back to in a second. Elalav, who must our Mishnah be? Rav Shimon. The Mishnah must be Rav Shimon. And when the Mishnah said that hakol levi amavayish amisbayish, again, there is a distinction. Everyone's kind of shifted down a little bit, but again, that's what the Mishnah means, that a rich person will be valued as like a regular person who lost his money. A poor person will be valued at the lowest rung of busha, of a destitute person. So Gemara says no. So we know that the Mishnah can be Rabbi Shimon. Afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. It's the second to last small line. I feel it in the middle. I feel it tame Rabbi Yehuda. No, I can tell you that the Mishnah will even go accord with the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. How? Ki am Rabbi Yehuda suma in loboshes. When did Rabbi Yehuda? When Rabbi Yehuda said that a suma does not have boshes, all he says is a suma doesn't have boshes. He doesn't define specifically what the halacha means. So that's lemishkamine. That's to take from him. Avol lemesvale. But if a person embarrasses a suma, he'll agree that you're chayef. So it's similar to the halacha we have in the next mishnah, that if you embarrass a suma, he can experience embarrassment, but when he embarrasses someone else, he's not responsible for, he doesn't realize what he's doing, whatever it is, he's not responsible for, or maybe he does, maybe he's winking at you, he's not responsible for any embarrassment he causes to someone else. So that's how the Mishnah wants to understand the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. So essentially taking the words of Rabbi Yehuda and redefining them. The Gemara says, one second, that doesn't necessarily work. Because, v'hami dekatani seifa, meaning if you want to understand Rabbi Yehuda to be our Mishnah, and when later on in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a suma who damage, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, but essentially the Mishnah would say there are two halachas with respect to suma. There's a suma being mevayir someone else where he's pater, and the Mishnah talks about a case where someone embarrasses a suma where he's chayiv. That can't be the halacha. Why? With respect to yashen, the Mishnah makes a distinction whether someone embarrasses a yash, someone sleeping, or someone sleeping embarrasses someone else. So the fact that the Mishnah expresses two sides of that halacha, with respect to Suma, the Mishnah does not express two halachas, it expresses one halacha. So you cannot say that the Mishnah was only expressing one of the halachas by Suma, because we see specifically by yashen that when the Mishnah can, it'll express both halachas. So you can't, if the Mishnah meant, if there were two halachas with respect to Suma, the Mishnah would have stated them explicitly. So when the Mishnah says that there's no busha by Suma, it must mean categorically there's no busha by Suma. Whether you do it to the Suma, I'm sorry, whether Suma does it to someone else, or you do it to the Suma himself, so therefore the Mishnah cannot be following the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. It just technically does not work out, because the syntax of the Mishnah does not allow us to interpret the Mishnah that way. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Velokatani Suma should be, and the Mishnah does not state Suma should be ishpater. It just says that a Suma, that there's no busha by Suma. If a person's Mevayish a Suma, then he's Chayiv. So Mechlal Deloshna, the implication from the Mishnah is that the halacha that we're stating by Suma is categorical. So, Mechlal Deloshna Hachi Veloshna Hachi. It doesn't make a distinction between whether or not the Suma is Mevayish or your Mevayish is Suma. Ella, must be machbarat masis and Rabbi Shimon. Again, it must be, the fallback is we had an answer before that the Mishnah will follow the halacha of Rabbi Shimon. We tried to establish a Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. It didn't work out because of this halacha with respect to Suma. So therefore, we're left with the Mishnah following the halacha, the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, man, moving on to two dots. Man tana lahadet tanu rabbanon. Who is the author of the following halacha? Niskavin levayishes a katan. If a person had kavana to embarrass a katan, and he ultimately ends up realizing that the person he's embarrassing is a gadol. Now, the Gemara is going to bring back the shittas that we saw before, but the assumption now is that gadol and katan refer to a person's status, not old or young, but wealthy or poor. So nosin legadol to mebosh, a person pays the gadol how much embarrassment he experienced. Nosin legadol de mebosha shal katan, because a person only had kavana to embarrass a katan, even though he embarrassed the gadol, so you pay the gadol the embarrassment that a katan, a person who doesn't have as much money, would have experienced. Levayish es ha'eved, if a person had kavana, intent to embarrass an eved, ubiyish es ben chorin, but ultimately ends up embarrassing a ben chorin, nosin le ben chorin de mebosha shal eved. Again, he pays what he had intended to do. He pays the ben chorin, the free person, the value of damaging an eved, the boshes of an eved. So Gemara says, "Mani, who's the author of this halacha? Lora Meir, Velora Behuda, Velora Shimon. Cannot be Rav Meir, cannot be Rav Behuda, cannot be Rav Shimon. Why? Kosaka Daitach. We initially interpret the halacha to be katan shabbin chasim. A katan means a person who doesn't have a lot of money." Gadol, person who's a gadol ben chasam, person who does have money. Now, ira meir, if it's a halacha like our meir ha'amar kulim b'hadei hadadininu. So again, meir, we said before, doesn't distinguish between your value, person, how much money a person has. Everyone's the same. Everyone's looked at as b'nei chorin, who are b'nei avram, yitzchak, and yaakov. They experience a certain level of busha, and that's what everyone gets paid. So it cannot be meir. Rabbi Yehuda for a similar reason. It's interesting, even though Rabbi Yehuda makes the most obvious distinction, there's some other halachas Rabbi Yehuda holds of that don't allow him to like follow these halachas and these brats. So Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar eid la'avadim boshes, he holds that avadim, there's no boshes by an eved. And we said over here, if a person embarrasses a ben chorin thinking that he's an eved, he pays the value of an eved. Now, I'm sorry, he thinks he's an Eved, but an Eved doesn't have any boshes. So it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rab Shimon, Homer Neskavim Levi Shezeh, V'Yeshezeh Potter. Rab Shimon holds that if you had Kavanah to be Mevayish one person, you Mevayish someone else, you don't have to pay at all. Meaning if the wrong Kavanah is involved and you're embarrassing someone else, you don't have to pay at all. So this halacha, which talks about having Kavanah to embarrass one person and you embarrass someone else, having to pay the what you thought you were embarrassing, so that halacha, Rav Shimon does not agree to. He holds your potter in such a case. So my time, why does Rav Shimon, just as Gemara is going to explain, why does Rav Shimon hold that? Kiktala, it's very similar to a case of killing someone. Makatala adim eskavin le, just like when a person kills a person. Meaning, if a person had kavana to kill one person and ultimately kills someone else, so you're not chai misa. Dichsiv va'arav lo, when a person was specifically targeting a specific person, become a love, right? It identifies a specific person when it talks about the halacha of killing someone. Ad she is kavin lo, the Gemara understands that there has to be intent. There has to be intent for that person. Again, because the Torah specifies the person you're killing, so there has to be intent for that person. So similarly, in our case, boches nami ad demechavin le, until you have kavana to embarrass him. Dechsiv v'shulcha yada v'chzika mevushav. When the psukim talk about the halacha of boshes embarrassing someone, having to pay, again it says that the woman grabbed him b'mevushav in his clothing. So again, his clothing is a targeted statement, targeted to a specific person. So therefore, boshes also has to be when a person has kavana for a specific person. Therefore, if a person doesn't have a kavana, you're going to be pater. That's Rav Shimon's halacha. So we've established why it cannot be Rav Meir, we've established why it cannot be Rav Yehuda, and we've established why it cannot be Rav Shimon. So Gemara is now going to come back and try to understand. Maybe it could be Rav Yehuda. La'olam, four lines up from the bottom, Rav Yehuda. Perhaps, no, you know what, the Mishnah can follow the shita of Rav Yehuda. How? V'chi kam Rav Yehuda ein lavad and boshes. When does Rav Yehuda hold that an Eved doesn't have boshes? L'meisva lahu. That only means when you embarrass an Eved, you don't pay him boshes. Okay? But ava l'meisham, but he experiences boshes. You don't have to pay him for it, but he experiences boshes. So you're not paying the Eved in this case. You're paying a regular person. You had kavana to embarrass an Eved, right? So there is a level of embarrassment there, which we can calculate. So that level of embarrassment, Shaminin Buhu will evaluate, and therefore will cause you to pay. So that's when Rabbi Huda said there's no boshes for an Eved, that's to pay him for boshes. But there is a value to his boshes with respect to the fact that if you were embarrassed an ordinary person, a free person, thinking he's an Eved, so that value that an Eved experiences of boshes, you'd have to pay to the free person. Vibay Seima, Gemara says, and I'll give you an alternate answer. Afilo Tamer Rav Meir. We can say that the halacha even accords with the shita of Rav Meir. Now, Misavra, Gadol Gadol Nuchasim, Katan Nuchasim. We've assumed this entire time that what does Gadol and Katan mean? It means a person wealthy, a person who's poor. No, it doesn't mean gadol gadol v'nechasim katan katan v'nechasim. It means no lo gadol gadol mamish v'katan katan mamish. So it says gadol, it means a person who's bar mitzvah, and when it says katan, it means a person who's a katan. Now you'll see in the second why the Gemara didn't want to say that initially. The katan bar boshes. So the Gemara says, what is second? A katan doesn't have. There's a katan katanim generally don't experience embarrassment. They don't. There's no busha by a katan. So Gemara says no. Yes, there is boshes by cotton. In what scenario? Kid amara papa de michlamu le umichlam. When he doesn't necessarily realize it at the time when he's doing whatever the silly thing, but a person, there is an age, let's just assume, there's an age at which a child is mature enough that when you recount the incident, he will feel embarrassed. So there are type of, generally, ketanim do not even feel embarrassment or experiencing embarrassment, but there's a certain level of maturity where he might act in an embarrassing way, but if you remind him and talk about it in front of him, he will experience that embarrassment. So that's the type of katan we're referring to over here, and therefore the halacha can accord even with the shita of Rav Meir. So Gemara says, hachanami, I'm sorry, and let me just flesh that out. Rav Meir agrees that there are distinctions in people. There's no distinction in person's wealth. Remeir would agree that if there are distinctions in people, whether it's a gadol or a katan, how much embarrassment they feel, but not with respect to how much money they have. With respect to money, it's a person's busha does not relate to their money. It relates to other things, their level of standing in the community, whatever it is, but it does not relate to their money. So therefore, once we've taken it off of a monetary distinction, Remeir will agree in that halacha that we will distinguish between a gadol and katan with respect to how much embarrassment they sense. So Gemara says, Hachanami demichlamu, turning the page, demichlamu lei umichlam. That's the katan that we're talking about. So ultimately, it could either be Rabbi Huda talking about a gadol and katan b'dechasim, or it could be talking about, or the brisa can accord with the sheet of Remeir with respect to a gadol, a real gadol, and a katan, a real katan. Fine. Mishnah on the top of Pevav Amud Beis. Hamavai Shesa'aram, if a person embarrasses a person who is naked, Hamavai Shesa'asum, this is a halacha that we saw before, if a person embarrasses a person who's blind, Vayamavai Shesa'yashin, a person embarrasses someone who's sleeping, Zechayiv, in all those cases, the person who is Mavayish is Chayiv for those damages. V'yashin Shebi'ish, however, this is where you see the distinction, V'yashin Shebi'ish Pater, but if a person who is sleeping, he's mevayish someone else somehow. Rashi, he fell on someone or did something silly to someone somehow by accident, but obviously not intentionally. V'yashin shebiyish pater, person who's sleeping who is mevayish someone is not chai for those damages. He's pater. Nafal min agag v'hizik, if a person falls off of a roof and damages, ubiyish, and he also embarrasses someone, chai v'ala nezek u'pater ala boshas. Again, he's unintended. Embarrassment. So therefore, you're putter on the boshes. Ad why? Ache miskaven. Because boshes, there has to be kavana to inflict the embarrassment. And in those last few instances, there was the person sleeping. If a person fell off accidentally from a roof, killing embarrassing someone. So those cases, you'd be putter because there's no kavana. Okay. Starting the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. Bisho Aram. So it's similar halach, bisho arm. If a person embarrasses someone who's naked, chayef. So you're chayef for that embarrassment. Ve'eno doma bisho arm lebisho lavash. And the embarrassment that the person experiences when he's when the person himself experiences while he's naked, is not comparable to the embarrassment a person would feel if he was dressed, clothed. Bisho bebeis amerchas. If a person embarrasses someone who is in a beis amerchas, in a bathhouse, you're chayef for that. You're chayef for that embarrassment. Ve'eino doma bisho bebeis amerchatz lebisho b'shuk. And the embarrassment that a person experiences in beis amerchatz is much less, again, than the embarrassment a person, the same person, would experience if he were in the open marketplace. Amar mar. So Gemara now wants to know. The Gemara is now going to analyze these halachos. So Amar mar, bisho arm chayef. So Gemara says we said a halacha that if a person embarrasses someone who's naked, he's chayef. So Gemara says 1 second. Arm bar boshesu. A person is completely, a person is undressed. The Gemara says, assumes that there's no, here, Rashi, the second Rashi on the page, Aram Barboshes, Bitmia, Kim de in Makbid Leilich Aram. Apparently, the person's not in the bathhouse, because we have the halacha of the bathhouse. The person's just walking around naked. Kim de in Makbid Leilich Aram, Bifnei B'nei Adam, Mi Havi Barboshes. Can this person experience any boshes? He's walking around naked. So Gemara says, Amara Papa, no. What do we mean when we say Aram? Aram doesn't mean naked. The Asazika Karkinu Lemane. So a wind came and essentially lifted up the clothing that they wore, a different type of clothing, I presume. So it lifted up his clothing. The Asa Hu the Linutfe. So the person who's inflicting the Boshes basically lifted up the clothing more than it was lifted up originally. So the person was to some extent naked. Person came along, he wasn't walking around naked. A person came along and lifted it up a little bit more, so he increased the level of exposure, and therefore he's chayef for that boshes. Gemara says, I guess they're in Scotland or something.
He didn't have underclothes in
those days. Yeah, okay. Right. The Beis HaMerchatz, chayef. The halacha was that if a person embarrasses someone in the Beis HaMerchatz, you're chayef. Beis HaMerchatz bar Bosha, again, the Gemara wants to know, is that an area in which a person can experience Bosha? What's the embarrassment that your person would experience in the Beis HaMerchatz? Everyone's standing around naked. So Gemara says, Papa, Shabisho Agav, no. So Gemara doesn't mean he's in a formal Beis HaMerchatz. It's like a makeshift Beis HaMerchatz. Amar Papa, Shabisho Agav Anar. Again, a similar case, he's by the riverbanks. Similar case, maybe, where he lifted up his clothing to some extent, exposing himself to go into the river, and someone came and lifted it up a little bit more. So that's the case where you increase the level of busha, not that the person is completely exposed, but you just there was a certain level of exposure. You increase that level, and therefore you're chayav for that additional exposure. Boy, Rav Abba Bar Mamo. Rav Abba Bar Mamo posed the following question: Bishu Yashenu Meis Mahu. A person embarrasses a person who's sleeping, umes, and then the person dies. So what's the halacha? Now, what's the case? So Rashi says the last long line in Rashi, the fourth line in Rashi. Rashi says at the end, bishu yashin, biish adam yashin. If you embarrassed a person, not while you were sleeping, obviously, it means you embarrassed a sleeping person. Umes, Rashi says, mitoch shenaso. He died while he never woke up. Velo hikir bibashto shaasalo ze. And he never experienced the busha. Well, he never experienced the busha that the person caused him. So mahu, what's the halacha in that case? It's a very interesting question.
He wasn't aware of it.
He was not aware of it. So my, so Gemara says my can we boil it? What Gemara wants to spell out exactly what the question is. What are the sides to this question? Amar Zvid. Zvid says the question is as follows. Amar Zvid, Hachi Kami Boile. This is what the question that we're posing. Mishum Kisufahu, meaning when you embarrass someone, there's two aspects. There is an experience that the person feels, and there's from an onlooker, from someone who the person himself has been exposed to some sort of embarrassment. There's a person sensing the embarrassment, and the person just as a person being exposed to some sort of embarrassment. So Gemara says, Mishum kisufahu, is it that he's embarrassed? Vahamis, and he died, and he never experienced that embarrassment. Vahamis, vahamislay, and he died. Vahlesle kisufa, and he did not experience that embarrassment. Odilma, mishum zilusa, he was there's a certain level of devaluing of the person or degrading of the person. Vaha uzle, and he was degraded. It has nothing to do with his experience, it's how he'd been projected on him. That's the question. It's a very interesting question. So Tashma, the Gemara wants to prove what exactly is the halacha in this case. Sir Meir Omer, Cheresh v'katan yesh lan boshes. A cheresh and a katan have boshes. Shota ain lo boshes. A shota does not have boshes. Now, I amr bishlam mishum zilusa. Now, if the halacha, the Gemara is going to want to know what is meaning. This is really getting into the roots of what is boshes. How do we define boshes? So the Gemara is going to try to draw it out from this halacha. Now we said by cheresh and katan have boshes. Shota does not have boshes. Iyam Rabishlam Mishum Zilusa, if it's embarrassment, if it's the devaluing of the person, Hainu Katan Katan, and we understand why you quoted the halacha of a katan. Eli Iyam Mishum, meaning a katan maybe not experience embarrassment, but he can certainly be degraded externally. Eli Iyam Mishum Kisufa, katan bar boshes, who is a katan? Is a katan someone susceptible to boshes? Elamai Mishum Zilusa, it must be that the halacha is because you devalued him. Afilu Shota, the Gemara says, now Gemara says, "Afilu shota nami." But what about 1 second? If that's true, then the shota can also experience some sort of external zilusa, some sort of degradation. So Amri shota ein lecha boshes gedol mizu. No, shota is like at the bottom level. He doesn't experience it. There's no impression of embarrassment on the shota either. Ein lecha boshes gedol mizu. So Gemara says, "Mikol makom." Nevertheless, nifshem ina. So if that's true, we should have an answer from here that the mishum zilusahu, that the halacha, that the reason why a person's chayav for boshes is because you've degraded someone. So Gemara says, "The imishum kisufa katan bar kisufahu." Because again, the proof is from a katan. A katan is not someone who can be embarrassed, experience embarrassment. So therefore, it must be the fact that you're chayav for katan must be the reason for embarrassment is because you've degraded him. So Gemara says, "No." There's no proof from this case. Kedam Rapapa, we're going to bring in Rapapa, who we said before, Demichle Mulei Umichle. No, we're talking about a type of katan who can experience embarrassment, so therefore you have no proof anymore from this case, because even though a katan is chayev, the reason why a katan would be chayev is because he can, this is a type of katan who can experience the his own boshes. Fine. Papa Amar. So Rav Papa says this. That was Rav Zvid. Rav Papa gives the following answer. Rav Papa proves the halacha from this point. Rav Papa Amar Hachi Kami Boile. This the question was as follows. Mishim Kisufa Didehu. It's going to be a very similar back and forth that the Gemara is going to have before. When we say the question with respect to Boshes is not the external versus internal, but it's more Mishim Kisufa. Is it his embarrassment? Vahamis, and the person died. The person sleeping died. No, his family experiences some sort of level of boshes. As a person belonging to a certain family, there's a certain level of boshes that the person's family has now incurred because you've embarrassed him. So Gemara says Tashma. Gemara is going to bring the same brisa. Cherish v'katan yesh lo boshes, shota ein lo boshes. A cherish v'katan have boshes, a shota is not a boshes. Now iam b'shalma mishum boshes mishpacha. If it's the boshes mishpacha that we're talking about, a katan again does not experience the regular. The Gemara is again assuming a katan does not experience the regular boshes, but his family certainly will experience the boshes. That's why we understand. That's why we've quoted the halacha of katan. Eliyam mishum kisufa. But if the halacha is because of mishum kisufa didei, but if the halacha is because of his own embarrassment, katan bar boshes, is a katan, can katan experience that boshes? We should have an answer that it's the busha of the family. The Gemara says no. Elamai my mishum boshes. Gemara says no. Elamai, what must we infer from this brisa? Mishum boshes de bnei mishpacha must be the boshes, the embarrassment that his family experiences. Gemara says then, if that's true, afilu shota nami, a shota also experiences, his family is going to experience some sort of embarrassment. So Gemara says shota in lecha boshes gedol mizu. No, the family already has the embarrassment of him being a shota. There's no lower wrong that we can establish as a level of busha. The Gemara says mikam makam nifshim inod mishum boshes mishpacha. So ultimately, we should have a proof from here that it's the busha that the family experiences as opposed to the busha that the person experiences. So Gemara says, "Dimishum kisufa the katan, mishum kisufa katan bar kisufahu, katan bar kisufahu." If it's the embarrassment, the katan again does not experience embarrassment. So Gemara says, "No, same answer I gave before." Amar Papa in demichle mule yumichle. No, it's talking about a type of katan who can experience embarrassment. Vahatanya. Sometimes Vahatani is a question. Here it's a proof. Rabbi Omer Cheresh yesh lo boshes, Shota ein lo boshes. A Cheresh has boshes. A Shota has no boshes. Katan pa'amim yesh lo boshes, pa'amim yesh lo, pa'amim ein lo. Sometimes a katan does. Sometimes a katan doesn't have boshes. Ha demichle mule michlam. Ha demichle mule v'lo michlam. There are different categories of a katan. One, some are mature enough to experience boshes. Some are not mature enough to experience boshes. Like a little bit more. Hamavayish es asumo. If a person embarrasses a suma, we said that the Mishnah says you're chayv. Masis and vokar Yehuda. The Mishnah cannot follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Detani Rabbi Yehuda Omer suma ein lo boshes. A suma does not. We said this before. A suma does not have. There's no boshes by a suma. The Mishnah says that you're mevayish a suma. You're chayv. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a suma does not have boshes. V'kachaya Rabbi Yehuda poter michayv golios. A suma is poter from chayv golios and michayv malchus michayv misus bezin. The Gemara is going to explain how he learns out all these halachos. A suma would be poter from all these different types of chiyuv. In my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason? Rabbi Yehuda gomer inecha me'edim zomimim. The halacha says inecha by edim zomimim, who are your persons. They're going to be chayv for what they do. Ma hasam suman lo. In order for a person to testify, a person has to see. In order for the edim zomimim to be chayv, they have to see. So also, with respect to the halachos that we're being mechayv a person for busha, a person would have to see. So again, that's the establishment. It's a gzer shav. It says you have to see by edim zomim. You have to see by busha. So we learn out that he would be putter. Mahasa sumin lo af hacha sumin lo. Now, how does he know that you're pater from chayve galios? Mechayve galios, titania below ra'os. A person did something without seeing. Prat, and therefore he's chayve galios. So Gemara says, prat la suma divri Rehuda. Rehuda holds below ra'os excludes a suma. Remeir omer, le rabos es a suma. So they both use the same pasuk. One says it's excluding a suma, one says it's including a suma. How? What's my time with the Rehuda? What's the reason for a Rehuda? Amr l'cha, if a person came to cut wood, chop wood in the forest, and it says, so he understands that pasuk means that Vasher Yavo Eser Eil Bayar, any friend came to chop wood. Vafilusumi, even a blind person. Kazer Rachamana Below Ro'osumi Ute. So when the Pasuk then says, without seeing, so it's excluding. It's one exclusion, and it's excluding a Suma. Lemiute, to be some sort of exclusionary phrase. Vermeir Kasav, Vermeir, and Vermeir holds Kasav Rachmana Below Ra'os. The Pasuk over here says, Below Ra'os. That's one exclusionary phrase. Lemiute. Vechasav Rachmana Bivli Das. And the Pasuk also says, Bivli Das, without knowledge. So that's also a miyad. That's also some sort of exclusionary phrase. The Gemara says, Havi miyad achar miyad, vein miyad achar miyad el rabos. And anytime you have two exclusionary phrases, in a certain sense, it's like offsetting penalties. They're not memayed anymore. They in fact come to include, and they come to include. It's just a technical drasha. Rav Meir holds that there's two exclusionary phrases, and therefore we're including a sumer for being chayav for galus. Rav Yehuda holds there's only one exclusionary phrase, and therefore that's excluding a sumer from galus. Rav Yehuda, what does Rav Yehuda do with this halacha of vlidas? Rav Yehuda, how vlidas prat lemiskavin. That's a separate halacha Huda asa. Now, just quickly to finish off, Chavi Mises Bezin Asya Rotzeach Rotzeach Mechavi. So we've established Gullus. Now, where do we know all these halachas that presume is Pata from Gullus? How do we know all the other halachas? So it's just each thing's going to be learned out from the next. Chavi Mises Bezin Asya Rotzeach Rotzeach Mechavi Gullus. So we've established Gullus. So Chavi Mises Bezin is learned out from Gullus. Chavi Malkius Asya Rasha Rasha Mechavi Mises Bezin. And Chavi Malkios are learned out from Rasha Rasha from Chavi Misos Bezin. Done. Yeah.